And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. If you've just joined us, we're talking about immigration as the Senate prepares to begin a debate on that subject this evening. Mary Elena Hincapié is my next guest. She is the executive director of the National Immigration Law Center. She joins us on the line today from Washington, D.C. Mary Elena, it's nice to talk to you again. How are you doing?
Great. Great to be back with you, Tom.
So the immigration debate is finally getting started in the Senate tonight. At least that's on the schedule. Jeff Flake, retiring senator from Arizona, said yesterday on Meet the Press that this is one of those rare occasions where the outcome of a debate in the Senate is not certain. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? Or do you think that the fact that there is an anti-immigrant platform that elected President Donald Trump is going to allow the Republicans to simply have their way, kind of like the way they had their way for the most part with tax reform?
I think Senator Flake's comments are very insightful. Senator McConnell has pledged to do something on immigration, and that's almost unheard of these days. And starting at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, they will be opening a floor debate about DACA and about the issues affecting Dreamers as a whole. And, you know, at the end of the day, though, Tom, this legislative debate could be long on talking points and really short on substance. You know, the real question is, will the Senate be able to work in a bipartisan fashion to create a real solution for immigrant youth? We have to remember that this is a Trump-created crisis. The fact that we have 700,000 young immigrants in this country, in the DMV area alone, we're talking about over 22,000 young immigrants. In Maryland, it's almost 8,000 young immigrants who are DACA recipients whose lives are hanging in this legal limbo right now.
Do you expect that the immigration debate will expand out of DACA to include other areas? I mean, the president has now suggested four points for aspects of what he thinks has to be part of a comprehensive immigration bill. Is this a moment that you think people will seize, legislators in both the Senate and the Congress will seize to take on the whole issue of immigration, or do you think they're going to concentrate just on DACA?
Unfortunately, from what we've seen from the White House and the White House framework, initially when President Trump terminated the DACA program back on September 5th, he talked about getting a final legislative solution for the Dreamers through the DREAM Act, which there's been it's been a bipartisan issue for the last 16 years, Tom. Since 2001, there's been bipartisan support for this issue, and this is an issue that has over 89% of public support. Almost no issue, not just about immigration, but on any policy issue, has that level of support across the political spectrum and across America. On the other hand, though, now we have seen the White House and President Trump himself constantly moving the goalposts, making more and more demands. And what we see is that this is where it's concerning, because if, in fact, the president and the White House and Republicans want a solution to the issue of DACA, it should be a narrowly focused solution. It should be focusing on a bipartisan DREAM Act. And if we have to go to border security, which, I would argue that we don't even need to do that. Again, we're talking about a crisis that was created by President Trump when he terminated the program, and a bipartisan DREAM Act should be that solution. But if we're going to ensure that we're going to add border security as well, then that should be border security that is based on reasonable, that's accountable, that's fiscally responsible, and environmentally responsible. But as you mentioned, and as we've seen a lot in the news, it seems that the president is intent on the White House has put forth what we consider really a white nationalist wish list that includes now looking at a family ban, ending diversity visas, which is a way that mostly African immigrants have been able to migrate to the U.S. It really is an extremist position.
Let's see if we can get one caller here on our show. Dale in Greenmount West, welcome to Midday with Mary Elena Hincapié.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for letting me get on the air. Let me cut this off the speaker. Thanks for getting me on the air.
Sure.
Look, I'm real disappointed, Tom, in y'all's lack of dealing with existing law. You know, you have these so-called experts on there. There's a law on the books right now, the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, and there's also the Immigration Control Reform Act of 1986. Y'all never talk about that and focus on Section Title 8, Section 1324.
What does that say, Dale?
What has to do with the hiring of undocumented, which is the real reason why the majority of these people come here. They come here for jobs, and African-Americans are being displaced by this population, and other folks are profiting.
Okay, well, thanks for that comment, Dale. I appreciate it. So, Mary Elena Hincapié, we hear this a lot. We hear the argument that undocumented folks are taking jobs from American citizens. What's the data that you understand about this?
Sure, and I appreciate Dale's question. Look, immigration and immigration reform is a complex issue, which is why the debate in Congress right now should not be about immigration reform. It should be about addressing the needs of the 700,000 young immigrants who have DACA, who are not undocumented, right? They actually are here lawfully. They have work authorization. Having DACA has allowed them a life-transforming impact. They've been able to buy houses, to buy auto insurance, to go to college. This is a population, and this is not the population that Dale is talking about with respect to DACA and Dreamers. Is these are folks who've been here since they were 3 years old, since they were 5 years old, who've been here their entire lives, who've grown up in our educational system. There is absolutely no data that says that young immigrants, the so-called Dreamers, are taking away jobs. And in fact, the economic data, the majority of the data about undocumented workers, which I think is who Dale is talking about more broadly, shows that the displacement is at the lower echelons. It is with black workers, with U.S.-born Latinos, for example, Puerto Ricans, folks with other documentation. But that oftentimes what happens is that those workers are creating jobs. Oftentimes they are employers themselves. And second, that they then create openings for English-speaking workers, like an African-American worker or a U.S.-born Latino who speaks English, et cetera, that they then get supervisorial or higher-end jobs. The economics, just especially at a moment in our country that where employment has improved, the data just doesn't show what Dale is saying. That doesn't mean that we have to address, I think this is the larger immigration reform discussion that we do have to discuss, is what are the proper levels of future immigration in ensuring that we are improving, for example, labor market rates, that we're improving work labor and employment rights so that African-American and all workers, including undocumented workers, have the rights and they're able to enforce them so that we lift up the floor for all workers.
But just to summarize, there's no strong data suggesting that there are a lot of African-American workers who are being displaced by undocumented workers. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. The data does not show that.
And you mentioned, you know, that it's your preference and certainly the preference, I think, of Senator Durbin and others who are behind the DACA legislation, the Dreamers Act, that they'd like to limit this current debate, the one that starts tonight, to DACA. But isn't there going to be a political calculation on the part of both sides that will involve these other things? I mean, is border security, so-called, the wall that Mr. Trump so famously ran on, is that going to become a bargaining chip to get DACA?
Absolutely. I think that is the way that the debate is being set up, which is why I am pessimistic about whether we will be able to get anything done. And the reason for that, Tom, is the following. Again, we have 700,000 young immigrants who have DACA. 122 of them are losing status every single day. Come March 6th, right? The March 5th deadline is a deadline that President Trump made up, but that is the cliff point. That is the date that after that, 1,000 young immigrants will start losing their status on a daily basis, which means they lose their livelihood, they lose their ability to support their families, to pay their mortgage or their rent. Employers will start losing workers. Colleges and universities will start losing students who may need to drop out because they can't afford it anymore. You know, there simply isn't any time to waste on this issue. Now, again, if President Trump and Republicans in the Senate are going to insist on a family ban, which means that in the future, whether Dreamers or others will not be able to petition for their parents or for their siblings, et cetera, that is a much more radical change to our immigration system. We're talking about holding Dreamers hostage for what the rest of the system is looking like. It's almost as if a hostage, the ransom was like, hey, we'll let you go, Dreamer, but then we're going to kidnap the rest of your family.
The fact that the president has suggested a path to citizenship, and the number that he's using is 1.2 million people. You're using the number 700,000. I've heard others describe the DACA population as about 800,000. Is the fact that the president has proposed a so-called path to citizenship over a long period, some 12 years, is that a breakthrough? Is that a step forward in this conversation?
No, this is basically just spin from the White House, Tom. The DREAM Act, the bipartisan DREAM Act that Senators Durbin and Graham introduced some months ago and have introduced in the past, does include a path to citizenship. And the numbers are frankly just meant to be a distraction. At the end of the day, we'll have to look at the details of what, you know, which bill passes, if one does pass, and in terms of who will be, how many people will be eligible. The 700,000, 800,000 number is has to do with the number of individuals who currently have DACA status. The larger number of 1.6, 1.8, you know, again, there are different ways to analyze that, have to do with the universe of young immigrants who would meet the DREAMer definition and should be able to qualify under that kind of. But this notion of a path to citizenship, absolutely, that is where the bipartisan support is. And that is not something new that the president or the White House is offering as a concession, although that is the way that they're spinning it. And that is what the American people want. That is where the 89% support from the public comes, is making sure that these young immigrants who have been here their entire life, who simply are hoping and yearning for this country to recognize them and see them as the Americans that they are, allow them to eventually become full citizens and to contribute to our country and to our democracy in many, many ways.
We have 15 seconds left. Let me ask you to do a quick take on your thoughts on the word amnesty, which comes up all the time in these kinds of debates. Is that going to be a term of art that people on both sides are going to accept and talk about?
You know, amnesty, again, was used by the anti-immigrant folks back in the 1980s to try to block, in 1990s, I'm sorry, to try to block any effort for immigration reform. I think it's less about what labels are used. We see that similarly with chain migration is a new term that's being used by the White House and Republicans, which frankly, that all that means is a family ban. It's about separating families. We should be looking at ways to ensure that DREAMers could become citizens, that families could stay united, and that we find what is a 21st century immigration system that our country needs that benefits all of us.
Marielena Hincapié is the executive director of the National Immigration Law Center. She's based in Los Angeles, and she joins us today on the phone from Washington. Thanks so much. Look forward to the next time.
Thanks so much, Tom.
By the way, I want to call your attention to this month's cover story in Baltimore Magazine. Ron Cassie has done a great piece on the history and future of immigration here in Baltimore. We've got a link to it at wipr.org/midday. We want to thank the Diz for supplying lunch today here at Midday. The Diz is located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner, with breakfast served on the weekends, on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, another edition of What You Got Cooking with a terrific culinary historian named Michael Twitty and David Thomas, the executive chef at Ida B's Table here in Baltimore. We're also going to talk to Stanley Nelson. He's got a terrific new documentary called Tell Them We Are Rising, the story of Black colleges and universities. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
This is Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.